Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, the first in a series dedicated to the American Jewish tercentenary celebration marking the 300th anniversary of the settlement of Jews in the United States, is Rendezvous with Liberty by Mark Siegel.
Freedom is no gift. It must be won. It must be nurtured and defended in each generation. I, Abraham Israel, tell you this of my own experience. You cannot pass freedom forward intact. Yet each generation in its own time owes a debt to freedom. It is to leave behind a foundation on which freedom may be built by those to come. In the year 1654, I lived with my wife Rebecca in the capital of Dutch Brazil, the city of Recife. In January of that year, the armies of Portugal invaded our colony. The Portuguese commander lost no time in communicating with the Jews of Dutch Brazil. Politely, to be sure.
It is suggested that all Jews leave Brazil within 3 months. The penalty for remaining will be death.
We took the suggestion. On a spring day, Rebecca, my wife, 3 months with child, and I walked the road to the sea and boarded ship with all our worldly goods. We and 600 others of the Jewish faith. 16 ships there were in a stately flotilla, and we spread sail, heading before a gentle wind for Holland.
Another ending, Abraham.
And a beginning, Rebecca.
Abraham.
Yes, I know.
I have had enough of endings and beginnings both. I wish I were not to bear this child.
Rebecca.
To bring a child into this world. What use is it?
Rebecca, you're more harsh than those who persecute us.
I? More
they
harsh?
They would harm only some. You would destroy all.
No, Abraham. No, I would not. Forgive me.
I forgive you. If you'll dry your tears. Here.
Oh, Abraham, is there to be no rest for us? No place ever.
Take heart, my wife. Soon we'll be in Holland. It will be better there.
And the same words again.
Same?
The very words you used when we fled Portugal for Brazil.
Rebecca, do you think I'm insensitive to your suffering? Yet you must take courage. No human being can live without hope.
I am tired. So tired.
And rest, Rebecca. Here. Let me cover you with this robe.
Yes, I will rest. Perhaps I will dream.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham.
Yes, Rebecca.
Once, it was soon after we came to Brazil, I had a dream. A beautiful dream. You and I, we were in it.
And what did we do in your dream, Rebecca?
We did nothing.
Hmm?
Just nothing.
And what made it so beautiful a dream?
We were in a new land, Abraham. A land in which we practiced our faith without interference. A land in which no man spoke against another, but in the name of justice.
Yes, a good dream, Rebecca. And where was this land?
I do not know. It was but a dream.
after endless day, we sailed. Westward first, hugging the coast of South America. Then to the north. Northward to the Caribbean, the Spanish Main. 16 ships, square sails gleaming white in the sun, sailing a course towards an unknown destiny. 4 weeks out of Recife, the winds rose and scudding clouds covered over the brightness of the sky. The firmament opened and the storms came. On the morning of the fourth day, the torrent subsided, and there was peace upon the waters. We came up out of the hold of the ship, weary, yet thankful for our deliverance.
Abraham, the other ships, they're gone.
We were alone, a floundering dot upon an infinite ocean. Slowly, steadily, we moved now eastward through the Spanish Main. On an early summer morning, our lookout spied a sail on the horizon.
Ship ahoy!
We set a course in its direction, thinking it to be a ship of the lost flotilla. As we closed the distance between the two vessels, Asher Levy found his way to me along the crowded deck.
Abraham, that ship, it's heading toward us.
Asher Levy was right. The ship was not one of our flotilla.
Abraham, it's a strange-looking ship.
They've fired a shot across our bow.
They're running up a flag, Asher. Can you make out its colors?
Come on, Abraham. Why? It's a skull and crossbones.
It was a short battle and an uneven one. What little we had, the pirates took from us. But the Lord watched over us and they did us no bodily harm. For more than a month, we were prisoners aboard the Buccaneer. Then, it was in August of 1654, we were rescued by a French ship, the St. Charles. The master of the vessel was a Captain de la Motte.
Impossible, monsieur. Truly impossible.
Captain, we will pay you well. All that we ask is that you take us to Holland.
All. The St. Charles carries rum, tobacco. Our course is for North America, not the old world.
Good, Captain.
Oui, monsieur.
Our future lies in Holland. Take us to Amsterdam.
You will not regret it, sir. Our brethren in Holland will see to that.
Yes.
To sail for Amsterdam is out of the question.
Why?
But I will offer you a compromise. I will carry you to New Amsterdam.
Abraham.
I'm here, Rebecca, at your bedside.
Are we near land?
Very near. Rest now. You will need your strength.
Abraham, whatever happens...
Rebecca, I pray you, do not tax yourself.
My time is near, and there is something I would say.
Then say it, my wife.
When we left Brazil, I despaired for the child that is to be born to us. Do you remember?
I remember.
But now, through all these trials, somehow we've lived. We've survived. It's as if there were some special purpose set out for us. Abraham.
Say it, Rebecca. For your own soul's sake.
Yes, I will say it. I have begun to hope.
The first week of September 1654, we sailed slowly into the harbor of New Amsterdam. My wife stood next to me, holding our newborn son, David. And we looked with hope upon a new land, green and beautiful. Come, Rebecca. Carefully. Let us go ashore.
Now, one moment, monsieur.
Yes, Captain.
My passage money. I have not had it in full.
Captain, I thought you understood. We've given you all we had.
My friend, there's a charming jail in New Amsterdam. And the governor, old Pegleg, I assure you, he does not take kindly to debtors.
Captain, the rest of our passage money will come from Holland. We'll make good our debt.
And what guarantee have I?
Our word, sir. If you'll but trust us.
I will trust you.
Thank you, Captain.
Of course I will trust you. If I have a hostage.
What?
Pierre! Louis! Hold two of them.
No, no.
The rest may go ashore.
Here now. What is this disturbance? Silence! I say silence, a lot of you.
Well, speak up, one of you. I'm not here to pass the time of day. Who's responsible for this breakage?
Governor Stuyvesant. You remember me? Jacques de Lamotte, the captain of this vessel.
Remember you? Of course I remember you. And by the great horned spoon, you'll remember me the better.
I can explain, Your Excellency. These passengers, they have not paid their way.
Not paid their... There'll be none of that while I'm governor of New Amsterdam. The captain will be paid his passage money.
You see? 1,000 thanks, Your Excellency. You are a man of rare perception.
Still, you come, you chattering fool. Collect your money and be done with it.
Mynheer Stuyvesant.
Yes, yes, what now?
We have been stripped of our possessions by pirates.
Paupers to boot, huh?
Will you hear me through?
A man of spirit, I perceive.
I speak only in the name of justice, Governor.
Then say your piece, but be quick about it.
Mynheer Stuyvesant, we risked our lives and lost such property as we owned in the service of the Dutch West India Company. You govern another colony of the company for which we fought and suffered. Should not you stand surety for the remainder of our passage money?
I? You ask me? By the great... Perhaps you're right. It would be a pity to waste such independence on the debtor's prison.
You have our gratitude, Your Excellency.
And you my admiration. What is your name?
I'm called Asher Levy, sir.
Levy? Levy! Captain?
Your Excellency.
Where did you find these passengers?
Never mind, Captain. I will tell him. We are 23 Jews, Mynheer Stuyvesant, expelled by the Portuguese when they captured Dutch Brazil.
I see. Captain, what is your next port of call?
Brazil, Your Excellency. But I will not carry them with me.
Nor will we go.
How's that? What's that?
What, you yourself a moment ago...
Our conversation is long past, Levy. You may forget it.
What?
We do not welcome unbelievers in New Amsterdam, be they Lutherans or Jews or Roman Catholics. I will come closer to the point. We less than welcome them. We will not have them.
And what of my money, Your Excellency?
He will get it in any event, Mynheer Stuyvesant, I promise you, by the next ship from Holland.
He will get it, Usher Levy, within twice 24 hours.
But how? We have nothing left but our household goods.
They will be sold at auction. That is my decision. As for the next ship for Holland...
Yes, Mynheer?
The next ship for Holland will take you and your countrymen with it when it leaves New Amsterdam.
This was our coming to New Amsterdam. The few possessions we still had were sold at auction. Judith de Mereda and I, who had been held as hostages, were freed. And in that first uneasy week of September 1654, the cloud of expulsion hovering over us, we took counsel with each other, all 23.
Friends! Friends! Speak, Asher Levy. Friends, we must come to a decision.
Our decision has been made for us, Asher Levy, by the Honorable Peter Stuyvesant.
Moses Ambrosius, let us not yield to panic.
I yield to circumstance, Asher Levy. Have we a choice?
I think not, Moses.
You agree with me that we return to Holland?
To the contrary. I believe we must resist the deportation order.
An excellent sentiment, Asher. How?
Friends, let us discuss the matter in peace.
I'm sorry, Abraham. I cannot understand you.
Who, Moses?
Asher Levy. Consider our circumstances. We are a handful of refugees, penniless, cast upon the mercy of a man who knows no mercy. We are few and they are many. We are weak and they are powerful.
It has happened before, Moses Ambrosius, that the strong were delivered into the hands of the weak and the many into the hands of the few.
Not in my time on earth, Abraham.
Nor will it, Moses Ambrosius, unless you strive to make it happen.
What do you suggest?
Stuyvesant is not the final authority in New Amsterdam, Moses.
Abraham, I doubt the governor shares your view.
Nonetheless, he takes his orders from the Dutch West India Company.
And you would appeal to the company.
Precisely. For the right to remain here.
to live in peace.
You are naive, Ashalevi. Do you believe that they will grant us such a right?
It is a hope, Moses. Holland, at least, is not Spain.
Happily. Then why do we not return? You yourself know it is the one place on earth where there is at least partial freedom.
Would you take it on yourself to establish a precedent?
Now, speak clearly, Asher. I cannot understand you.
If we allow our expulsion from this Dutch colony by a Dutch governor...
Oh, I see. And yet...
Yet what, Moses?
Even if we win the right to remain in this wild, unfriendly country, what then? Do you so enjoy the intolerance of Peter Stuyvesant?
We will struggle against that intolerance, Moses Ambrosius. Perhaps we will win.
I begin to understand you, Asher.
Good, my friend.
You have grown used to the struggle. You enjoy it. As for me, I am tired of dissension. I've been through too much. My voice is for a return to Holland.
Moses Ambrosius, you have been my companion in suffering, and I will take no offense.
I meant no offense, Ashalevi. I counsel only the course of reason.
Moses, do you really seek the course of reason?
No other, Ashalevi.
Then let us reason together. This new world, shall we by default allow it to become as the old, rotten and corrupt with bigotry and torture and persecution? If we leave New Amsterdam now without struggling for our right to stay, yes, for our full right to live with the dignity of free men, if we desert this continent now, have we not betrayed all those yet to come?
Ship is in the harbor, gentlemen.
We know that, Governor Stuyvesant.
Good. Then you will prepare to depart forthwith.
Mynheer Stuyvesant.
I am a busy man, Ashalevi. Your interview is at an end.
Mynheer Stuyvesant, we have come to a decision.
Who? Who has come to a decision?
All who came on the St. Charles. We are not leaving.
How's that? What's that you say?
We are not leaving.
Of all the stubborn, you will be forced to leave. I will order the militia to place you aboard ship.
Sir, we risked our lives in the defense of Dutch Brazil. We are not afraid to risk our safety in the defense of freedom in New Amsterdam.
I will not tolerate mutiny in this colony.
Mynheer Stuyvesant, we're not a mutinous people. We're a people who believe in law.
Then you will obey the law as I see it.
We ask only that our case be fairly judged.
I am the Governor General of New Amsterdam. You hear me? I am the sole judge in this colony. Who are you? The lot of you. To challenge my authority.
The Dutch West India Company is patron to this province.
That has no bearing on this matter.
We think it does, Mynheer.
No bearing whatsoever. None whatsoever, I tell you.
Mynheer Stuyvesant, let us put the matter to the company. Each of us. And let the Dutch West India Company judge as to our right of peaceful domicile.
The first ship left without us, carrying instead our appeal for justice to the Dutch West India Company. We settled down under the unfriendly eye of Peter Stuyvesant to wait an answer. And while we waited, we gave to the colony of New Amsterdam the skills and energy of which we were possessed. A second ship came, bearing mail from Amsterdam.
What word?
No word. A third ship came, and a fourth.
No answer yet?
No answer. The weeks passed and the months, while the debate we could not hear went forward in Old Amsterdam. For 8 long months, each ship on its return voyage carried the petitions of our little group and the carefully worded arguments of Peter Stuyvesant.
The Honorable Lords Directors of the Chartered West India Company, masters and patrons of this province, we have deemed it useful to require them in a friendly way to depart, praying all to...
It is well known to your honors that the Jewish people in Brazil have at all times been faithful and have striven to guard...
To give liberty to the Jews will be very detrimental. Giving them liberty, we cannot refuse the Lutherans and the Papists the same rights and privileges.
We petition for the same liberty granted to other inhabitants, neither more nor less, as a right and a responsibility.
We stayed. We worked. We fought for the right of all men to live in peace and equality in New Amsterdam. And we waited, day by day and month by month, for the answer of the Dutch West India Company.
Abraham, Rebecca.
Asher, what is it?
We're summoned to the council hall, Rebecca.
Just we three, Asher?
All of us. In the polite language of the sheriff who has just paid me the honor of a visit. All dissenters, heretics, pagans, and unbelievers.
Another demand for our expulsion.
I think not, Abraham. I'm told a ship has cast anchor in the harbor this morning.
Asher, do you think that...
There's no time to think. Let us to the council hall.
Amsterdam, we have an unpleasant duty to perform.
Unpleasant, Abraham?
We do not know for whom, Rebecca.
We have this morning received a response from the directors of the Chartered West India Company regarding the petition of 23 dissenters to remain in New Amsterdam. I have order in this council hall. Before this letter in my hand is read, I would ask a question. Asher Levy.
I'm here, Mynheer Stuyvesant.
If the decision goes against you, will your people accept it?
Mynheer Stuyvesant, I would rather not consider that possibility.
Rather not? I know you would rather not. But if the company has decided in my favor,
we would accept the decision, Your Excellency, and write another appeal to Holland.
You are the most stubborn. Well enough. Here, you may read the letter, Asher Levy. You have earned the right to it.
To the Honorable Peter Stuyvesant, Governor General...
You may skip all that. The heart of it is at the end.
Having further weighed and considered the matter, we observe that this would be unreasonable and unfair, especially because of the considerable...
Abraham, do you hear?
...by the Jews in the taking of
do
the
Do you field. Hear?
Therefore, these people may travel and trade to and in New Netherlands and live and remain there.
Oh,
Rebecca, why are you crying?
Oh, crying, Abraham. I'm not crying. I'm giving thanks to God for us and for our child and for those who will come after him.
Freedom is no gift. It must be won. It must be nurtured and defended in each generation. You cannot pass freedom forward intact. Yet each generation in its own time owes a debt to freedom. And we 23, the first group of Jewish settlers to land on the shores of North America just 300 years ago, joined with the sons and daughters of many lands to build a foundation for that freedom of belief and equality of opportunity, which is America. May you guard the heritage well.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Ralph E. Samuel, Chairman of the American Jewish Tercentenary Committee.
Every time I think of the arrival of the first Jews in our country, I am moved all over again, moved more deeply than any celebration can indicate. 23 lonely, battered, but courageous men and women spent months crossing the sea in search of a place where they could live as Jews. There were few such places then. In the new land, they tackled their day-to-day problems, the struggle for shelter, livelihood, citizenship. They embraced their new country. They cherished the God of their forebears. They had no sense of destiny at the time, of course, but we have it for them. For as we look back, we realize that in all they were doing, they and their fellow settlers were raising the curtain on the greatest drama of modern times, the development of freedom as we know it in America today. This, above all, is what we are celebrating as we mark the tercentenary. More than the arrival of the first Jews in this country, more than the notable achievements of American Jews over a period of three centuries, more even than the lives they helped make possible for every one of us fortunate enough to be Americans. Today there are some 5 million Jews in America. Along with our fellow Americans, we enjoy all the infinite opportunities of freedom, including that most sacred of all, the privilege of shouldering its responsibilities. The bridge those early settlers started does not end in our day. It must not. Indeed, the most important aim of the tercentenary celebration is the heightened awareness and appreciation of our freedom that comes to us as we contemplate the history of the Jews in America. It gives us strength and inspiration. It lends hope to freedom-loving peoples all over the world. And as we take advantage of the opportunities that America presents and fulfill the responsibilities that go with the opportunities, we will prevail over all the tensions and all the conflicts troubling our world today and those which will arise in the years to come.
Thank you, Mr. Samuel. Eternal Light Drama today, Rendezvous with Liberty, was written by Mark Siegel. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Alexander Skorby as Abraham, Joan Loring as Rebecca, Stefan Schnabel as Peter Stuyvesant, Roger DeCoven as Asher, James Monks as Captain DeLamotte, and Ralph Bell as Moses Ambrosius. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brand speaking. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.